Okay, so now let's go to chapter 9. You ever use the website?
Yeah.
Yeah? How do you like it? Is it cool? What? What? Better than being on campus?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. If you want to take if you want to move over to the online class, we can do that. We can move you over to the online class. You don't have to show up for class. Or if you,
I said Canvas, not
the Oh, better than Canvas.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Sorry. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying
now
to.
I feel bad that you thought I said
no,
that.
No, no, no. You don't have to feel bad. Because there's lots, you wouldn't be alone if you didn't say that. But other people say, oh, I just can't make it at 8 o'clock in the morning. Fine, take it online. It's not so much bad here. Some of you have a hard time getting on time. But in the 8:30 class, people are working like this. So take the class online. No, I won't do anything if I don't. I got to come to class or I won't do anything. Okay, so here. What did we say about insurance companies? Keep your back to the wall. Oh, you can't hear it. Hang on a minute. Let me turn it up higher. I should check that. Let's start over again. Cute? And the sad thing is, this isn't funny. I mean, it's funny, you know, it's funny because it's cute and the way they did it, but this is what's going on. This is what actually is going on right now. We are having a national debate, debacle, whatever you want to call it, about insurance, health insurance, and you see the people on the left now yelling, "We want Medicare for all!" And the people on the right who have been trying to get rid of health care for poor people because we don't care about them, you know, because they don't vote Republican. So we got to do something. I don't know what we're going to do. Don't think I have the answers. But it's got to be something. And it's your generation that's going to have to deal with it. Because we, the old folks, are just going, we got ours. We got Medicare for you. So here are a few words to the wise. Don't get sick. Okay, don't get sick. And it turns out if you start investigating this, you'll see there's a disconnect between the Affordable Care Act, which we'll discuss in a little bit of detail, and what people actually want from it and what they think about it. Because if you call it the Affordable Care Act, they kind of go, okay, what is that? What is that? As soon as you use the word Obamacare, it's a government takeover, it's socialism, it's horrible. The Democrats are stupid. They are so goddamn stupid. As we're going to see, Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, was actually started by Mitt Romney. Now, you remember that guy, Mitt Romney? Remember him? Mitt. There's a guy named Mitt. His wife calls him Mittens. But he's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. And he has a place in La Jolla. I think he sold it, but he had a place in La Jolla. And while he was I mean, it's just, he wasn't that smart either, but he lived in a very different world. While he was campaigning for president, he was having a garage built in his house in La Jolla for his cars, so he could move the cars up and down in the garage. You run for president, you're not smart. So anyway, turns out when people are asked about the health care bill, they actually wanted to do more. What's going on? The United States has the highest per capita medical expenditures of any industrialized country in the world. It's about twice the average for companies for countries like Canada, Western Europe, Japan, industrialized world. The predicted amount in this year is about $12,000 a year. So in other words, every single one of us in this room writes out a check for $11,800 this year for health care. Now, do any of you write a check for that amount? No, because you're all young and in very good health. You go, what are you talking about? I'm fine. I haven't been to a doctor in years. When I do, they say you're fine. Because you are. You're young. You're in good health. In 1965, 6% of our gross domestic product, in other words, all the goods and services that our country has created, was in health care. But that has risen to about 18%, and it's expected to surpass 20% within a few years. In other words, one-fifth of our economy, one in five people, will be in the health care industry. And I heard an economist say it this way. Look, Americans want too much of a very good thing. We have the best healthcare system in the world. Is that true? Yeah, we do. We have the worst, I should say, in the industrialized world. We have the best healthcare system in the industrialized world. We have the worst healthcare system in the industrialized world. Is that true? Yes. Because there's a haves and the have-nots. If you have good insurance, if you have plenty of money, then you have the best health care in the world. If you don't have insurance, oh well, sorry for you. You see what's going on here? Our average life expectancy now has been dropping. Do we expect that? No, but that's what's going on. And we thought the average life expectancy would be going up. But the problem is you're counting people who are poor, indigent, opioid, suicide, overdoses. And so we don't see it as much, or maybe you might see it, but in the Midwest, where much of the economy has basically disappeared, it's really bad. It's very, very bad. And they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. So it's not the most fun thing to talk about. Why does healthcare cost so much? Well, these two are the big reasons. But we have very expensive, sophisticated technologies, and we duplicate those. If one hospital has an MRI machine, which is now de rigueur, then all the other hospitals in the area have to have it. How much does an MRI cost? Magnetic resonance, anybody know? Anywhere from $1,200 to $2,000, depending. Bargain, you might get for $800. And if you're along the Canadian border, they have places on the United States side, hey, we'll do an MRI, because it takes a while to get into Canada's MRI, because they don't have as many. So they have a socialized medicine, all those dead Canadians laying around. But if you got the money, you don't want to wait, you can cross the border and get an MRI for $800. Competition. But increases in the variety and treatment of tests, but here are the two big reasons. High administrative costs. We pay about 25 cents out of every dollar to the insurance companies. And this is why you're hearing people like Bernie Sanders scream and holler the insurance companies need to be nationalizing, put out of business. It shouldn't be profits over people. Whereas Canada pays 1%. Medicare pays 1%. A socialized, demonized, socialized system pays about 1% in administrative costs. See the difference? So do you think the insurance companies want this to change? Hell no. That's why they have insurance company rules. But here's another big one. We're getting older. I want you to remember this statistic. From ages 60 to 70, the average person uses more healthcare resources than they did from 0 to 59. So from 0 to 59, you use X. 60 to 70, you use X plus whatever. As you get older, the amount becomes exponentially great. The most significant reasons are the last two. You'll hear people scream about malpractice insurance. And for some doctors and other areas of healthcare, it is true. Gynecologists pay a tremendous amount in malpractice because if a child dies in childbirth, you know, that's horrible. Well, sure, it's horrible, but 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, it happened all the time. No big deal. In fact, in some cultures, they said the first year, the child is not yours. The child is still God's. And if the child dies, it's because God said, yeah, it's not for you, it's for me. Well, because it happens so often, right? It happens so often. You can think about it. You know, now, if a child dies, everyone's really, really hurt. And with good reason. You don't want your child to die, but it's become a very unusual event, so they have to pay out a lot. So what's being done? Careful review of fees and changes. Establish incentives for preventive care. Because preventive care is almost always cheaper than what's called allopathic care. In other words, once a person is sick. It is so much more cheaper to get somebody on some kind of diabetes medication than to wait until they're at the hospital in a diabetic coma. So you'll see, they give a lot of lip service in my humble opinion, but they say, hey, no, we want to educate our participants in our program. We want them to take better care of themselves. And would you take a medical vacation? And on the border, this is something we see. As soon as you cross the border, what do you see? Yeah, dentist offices. And they're actually hurting now because they get a lot of people coming from the north. They get people flying into San Diego, across the border, or driving down from L.A. to come and get their teeth worked on. And because Pinchet Trump has been jumping up and down saying he's going to close the border, people are putting off on their medical vacations. Well, look, you have gallbladder disease, which is pretty serious, and you need an operation. We'll do it here. But we'll pay you $5,000 to go to the Philippines or South Korea, put you up in a nice hotel, and have it done there. Would you do it? What? Why not? Well, some people say, are you going to wind up with one of your kidneys removed? Well, this is what happens. There is an entire industry of medical vacations that I can cater to people in the Western world who can pay for. The doctors are trained in the U.S. and Europe. You go down to Mexico, and the doctors speak perfect, speak very good English, and they maybe perfect English, and they were trained here. So it's happening. But are you willing to forego your medical care? If you needed it, would you forego it? Some people do. So here, you don't believe me. I know you don't believe me, but that's okay, because you're young. But you're 34 years old. You started smoking when you were 14. Recently, you've been experiencing severe abdominal pain and a nagging cough. You go to your family doctor, who sends you immediately to the hospital. After a few tests, a specialist asks you to sit down with her and tells you you have stage 4 lung cancer. It's spread to your liver and your spine. She tells you you probably have about 6 months to live, give or take. She gives you two alternatives. The first alternative: you decide to forego radical treatment. Instead, you are given pain medication, placed in hospice care after 2 months. Your chances of living 5 years are about 1 in 1,000, and you die in 4 months. The second alternative is you decide to undergo radical treatment. Thankfully, this is changing. You have surgery, radiation treatment, several rounds of chemotherapy. Your chances of living are now 1 in 85, but you die in 9 months. So which one do you do, A or B? You don't have to show. You say you'll take A. You say you'll take B. But you don't know until it happens to you. And hopefully you'll talk to other people who are going through it. Because most of them will say, don't do it. Don't do this. It's a horrible way to die. And you might win. You might live. You probably won't. But you might. Whereas this is pretty courageous to take, right? But you know who takes this? The doctors, the nurses, the people in the healthcare, they know what it's like. They know the neuropathy, the pain, the throwing up that you go through. Luckily, you know what's going on? This is why I told you at the beginning, we're curing cancer. they're going to replace this with what's called chemotherapy, with what's called immunotherapy, where they train your immune system to go after the cancer. It's very, very cool. It's going to happen. It's taking a little longer than we thought. So which one do you want? A or B? Okay. A, B, 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 B. Okay, now how much does it cost? This is going to cost about 75, maybe 100 grand. This is going to cost $1.5 million for 4 months of life. Extra 5 months of life.
And then you're going to die eventually anyway.
So. Hey, you might make it.
But you die.
Yeah, well, everyone dies, right? Yeah. But you might, you know, you might beat the odds, but probably not. 1 in 85, not very good, right? You're right. I would hope that I would take this, but I don't know. You know, you don't know until it happens to you. So, but now do you understand why each one of us writes a check for $11,800? Even though you're in the best of health, you're writing that check. You are an American citizen. Our economy is pumping out that much money. And that ain't all. The average cost for diabetes, folks, you do not want diabetes. You do not want diabetes. If you drink sugar every day, throw it away. Yes, sir.
Is that the actual cost of
this one? No, talk to them. This is what I got. I asked a couple people about how much would it cost. I have a friend who worked for Kaiser for many years. She just retired. She goes, yeah, that's about right. Shit. That's a lot of money. And that's not all. Diabetes. There are 200, 300 million people in the world who have diabetes that don't even know it. The average cost is over $9,000, and then there are all kinds of complications from diabetes. PTSD, $8,000 a year for years. Cystic fibrosis, a horrible disease, which luckily we've been able to increase people's lifespans much more. Very few people live past their teenage years with cystic fibrosis, but now they can usually live into their 20s, into their 30s. Liver transplant, lung, heart transplant. And then if you have one of these transplants, you're not done. You got to take the anti-rejection pills, drugs, for $30,000 a year for the rest of your life. 1% of patients use over one-fifth, 22% of the medical resources. 5% use 50%. So 5 out of 100 people are using 50% of what we're paying. And one-third of all Medicare dollars, that's for us old folks, right? I'll be eligible for Medicare in a few years, are spent in the last year of life. Just keeping somebody alive an extra 4 months. So what do we do about this? Okay. Death panels! In 2008, I don't know if you remember, but it was 10 years ago, right? 11 years ago. Then Senator Obama was campaigning for the presidency and making health care his primary focus. While that was happening, his grandmother in Hawaii, who was his primary caregiver, he was raised by his grandparents, was dying. He saw the heroic and costly efforts that were being used to keep her alive for an extra few months. She didn't actually live to see him win. She died a few days before. Isn't that sad? As with his campaign promises to rein in health care costs, he floated the idea of giving Medicare patients in the last few months of life information about options such as hospice care, the slide we saw a few slides ago. What happened? Remember Sarah Palin? His political opponents quickly accused him of wanting to create death panels. In other words, you're going to die. Sorry, you don't get any more money. That was not the issue. The issue was, look, you're going to live an extra few months and it's going to be hell. Is that what you want? Yes. Okay, fine. We'll do it. To this day, a large number of people still believe that the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, contains death panels, even though it doesn't contain death panels. Speaking of which, the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. Now, this is where the Democrats were stupid. They should have called it Romneycare, because it was originally proposed by the Heritage Foundation, which is a conservative think tank, and it was implemented by Governor Mitt Romney in Massachusetts. The idea was, look, you have to have liability coverage for your car, right? You're going to have health care coverage for you. because we don't want you to walk into the or be carried into the emergency room with no health care whatsoever, no health care, no health insurance, and be, you know, diabetic coma or lung cancer or whatever. So the idea was to make everybody have a health insurance mandate that would encourage the young people, the young and healthy, to say, I don't need health insurance, I'm fine, to have insurance to pay for us older folks, because eventually young people are going to get old. Create these exchanges. Have you played with, anybody played with coveredcalifornia.gov? CA covered? That's what I'm going to ask you to do some quotes. And then one of the things, this is the insurance companies, you know, they shot to every way has been tried to. Did I bring my? Didn't I bring it? Yes, I did. I brought it. Okay. Every single attempt at changing the healthcare system before Obamacare was shot down by the insurance companies. And this time they went along. They went along with it. But they had to swallow a pill that they did not like, and they still don't like, and this is what the Republicans wanted to get rid of because they wanted to make the insurance companies happy. But the pre-existing conditions. Have you heard about that in the news? That this is the one thing that they're fighting over now. If you have diabetes and you don't have health insurance, you go to the health insurance company and say, sure, we'll take you as a client, as an enrollee, but we won't cover your pre-existing diabetes. What? I know. Pretty nasty, right? And that's one of the things they swallowed. They said, all right, if you're going to make every single person go get insurance, if you're going to ask them to go get insurance, we'll get rid of the pre-existing conditions. So that was a big thing that the insurance companies swallowed. RomneyCare, the Affordable Care Act, has actually worked well in Massachusetts, but that's a much different state than, say, Alabama, right? All people are now, about 98% of people are insured. Will Obamacare work on the national level? Well, the news is filled with cries that Republicans in Congress will do anything, including literally shutting down the government and defaulting on the debt to overturn it. Now the Republicans are saying no more. But Pinche Trump is yelling, get rid of it. And the Republicans are saying, forget it. We lost badly in 2018. So how can you reduce your personal health care costs? Don't get sick. Focus on prevention. Eat a balanced diet and keep your weight under control. Reduce total meat, dairy, and sweets consumption. Yeah, sure, Yeah, how much sugar is in it? How many drinks? You don't have to raise your hand. How many people drink sugar, soda water, right? They put sugar in water and they put fizzy stuff in it and they dip a brown crayon in it. Okay, so how much sugar is in a soda? Do you know? Was that? Check. This. They put it in the bottles in Mexico. They put it in the bottle. Three soft drinks a day, 450 calories. It's one fourth of your total intake. $700 million, I think that's a low number. Nine. See, I only got you for a few hours this semester, right? Whereas Coca-Cola is coming after you every damn day. And this one, here are the real Coca-Cola bears.
Sugar, sugar, I want to make you happy. Like the sun you shine, you brighten up our brain. Sugar, sugar, so good, so good.
Gentlemen, you do not want diabetes. Don't swish it around in your mouth. Drink it fast. They're all thin. That's the thing. In the commercials, they're all thin. A good singer, isn't he? Like whoever the singer is. Fishes are going to get diabetes. Okay, so am I being overly nasty to the Coca-Cola company? Am I? Well, there are dozens of articles about what happens when you drink soda, so check them out. But here is something that Coca-Cola used to publish, but they stopped doing it when people like me started using it against them. Because look at what happened between 1991, 2001, and 2011. Look at our consumption, 292 to 400. Look at Mexico. Mexico is the country that drinks the most Coca-Cola. No matter what little pueblito you go to in Mexico, you're going to see Coca-Cola, right? They have dirt floors, but they all got Coke. And they put it into bottles, yes. It's still sugar. It's not going to make you fat and give you diabetes and destroy your pancreas. But look, but Coca-Cola doesn't care. Coke doesn't care. Look. 1991, 2011. We're going to give them diabetes. So don't worry about China taking over the world. We're going to bring them to their knees. Because as I said, did you read about the starvation gene? Yeah. Asians, Africans, and people of mixed down in Latin America, because they're basically Asians before they were South American, they have the starvation gene. And you take a China guy out of the fields, put him in front of a computer, feed him pizza, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Coca-Cola, and in 10, 12 years, 15 years, he'll have diabetes. Okay, so now they don't publish this anymore because they saw people like me using it against them. So here, read more about Coca-Cola. Plus, what about red meat? There are dozens and dozens of the articles. The evidence is pretty damning. The fewer times you eat red meat, the better off you're going to be. I know, I like Hodad. Go to Hodad and get the unburger. It's one of their cheeseburgers without the meat. It's still really good. Get the onions grilled on the side. It's awesome. And then you can have dairy out with a real milkshake. But meat is not good for us either. And so let me show you now. I forgot to plug this in. See if this works. Yes, yes, yes. But let's go back to the PowerPoint slide. So learn to deal effectively with stress. Don't smoke. Obviously, don't drink to excess. Alcohol. People who binge drink once every week or a few times a month are, if you're an alcoholic, that takes years off your life. Exercise. We'll get to you in a minute. Exercise. I'm sure there's out there are companies looking at it. If we could turn exercise into a pill, do you remember the Wii when it came out, the Nintendo Wii? There was that one application called Wii Fit, and people bought it like crazy. Oh, this is so cool! I'm going to get fit. Then they realized they had to move. They thought they were going to get fit just doing this. Bring it back. It ain't what we want. So, do financial health and medical health have any correlations? Yeah, the richer you are, the better off you are in terms of health. Okay, so now, what was the next? I forget. Okay, so health insurance. Now, let's go back to this guy right here and see if I can get this to work. I don't know if I can. Videos. Marco. This is a guy who is a doctor. I don't know if it's not going to work. I bet you it's not going to work. I got the wrong one, I bet. Oh, no, I do have the right one.
Really quickly?
Yes.
I find it really, I work in 24-hour fitness, and a lot of elderly people come in with free memberships through their health care. It's why provide people that are so old? Not that I'm saying it's bad, medical and free health, free membership. They're so old already. If they provided young people.
Well, but everyone. There are very low cost options.
We wouldn't 25
minutes and
make money,
but it's kind of No, it's not too late. It's not too late. That's right. Everybody. It doesn't matter what age, you still should be doing exercise. We said if you live 1 to 3 miles from school or work, if you just walk to work a couple of days a week. Everybody should be doing exercise. But we don't. We'd like to sit down and watch television.
Well, you have to be 65 kind of to qualify.
Well, don't you like people who are old? Give us a few. I'm not there yet. But no,
it's cool. I get it. I like it. It's cool for them, but it's the thought process behind us. They're providing something.
Well,
that's
the idea. Get them to work out. But the idea is once you get older, you get more perks because you made it this long. But everybody should be exercising. Doesn't matter how old you are. Does everyone. So we should give it to everybody, okay? I'll vote for that. No, just make sure. There are many low-cost options. Plus, you don't really need to go to the gym, do you? Do you really need to go to the gym? You go watch YouTube videos. You go work out. Walk. Walking is the best exercise, in my humble opinion.
But you have trails over here. Like walking trails.
Yeah.
You go to two of us, but you got
Get on a bicycle. Go walk. Go swim out in the ocean. Don't eat by your shark. Anyway, let me see if I can get this to work. Because this guy's really cool. This guy is very, very cool. He's smart. Open with... How about this one? Windows Media Player. Okay, finish. This is a guy who...
What the healthcare system is struggling to do is address three problems. Access, cost, and quality. What the Affordable Care Act was doing at first, or looking at as a primary goal, was access. The problem is that you increase access, you're going to increase cost, and you have no effect on quality. So there were some elements in there that were designed to get at the costs and quality parts of the equation. And you know, we could do things like ration services, or we could have just mandatory reductions in physicians' fees or drug prices. Or we could do something that's a little bit more sensible, which is to pay for how much things are worth. This is an experiment that's happening in real time. The healthcare system that we have currently was an experiment. An employer provided healthcare was just some historical accident that occurred when companies weren't able to raise wages during World War II, and so they gave perks like healthcare and it became a tax deduction. You know, we just have a system that wasn't really designed to do what it should be doing, and it's just grown to a massive scale, and it's not what anybody would have designed. So the question is, with all the incumbents and all the vested interests that want to keep it the same because they're making a lot of money doing it, how do we get around all of that and make this into a rational system? So I think anybody, you know, who tries to tell you what the system will look like is either, you know, a lot smarter than certainly I am, or is a lot more confident than they should be. Things that can't go up forever won't. We can't keep growing healthcare at a material rate above GDP when we're faced with a significant deficit problem, and when our dependency ratio keeps going up, the fewer people who are working to support those who are retired, and so it will change.
This is a guy who works as an investment professional in the healthcare industry. He is an MD. He left. He was a doctor. He still is. He still has his MD. But he worked as a doctor, and then he became an investment professional looking at the healthcare system. So he basically explained to you that nobody would have designed our system from the way it is now. It was just an accident from World War II when our employers were giving out healthcare insurance, whereas in Europe, they had the government doing it. The employers didn't do it. And so, you know, that was called socialism. We called it, this is the American way. But employers are saying, no, they don't want to do it anymore. So he said it best. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have no idea. Anybody who does, I don't think is correct, but it's going to change. Well, Canada is run by the government. It is socialized. So you go to your there's only one hospital, right? There's not three different hospitals. There's not Sharp, Scripps. They have one hospital. It's a government hospital, and you deal with them. It costs them a whole lot less. Now, is it as efficient as ours? No. If you have a problem that is not life-threatening, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. And some people don't want to wait. So what do? They cross the border and they pay for it out of pocket. There's a system. I don't know what's going to happen. I've given up. I do my best to educate you because you're going to have to deal with it, your generation. But we could look to France. Oh, my God. How could any American look to France? But the French have a socialized competitive system. If you want health care, given by the government, great. You know, get in line. But if you're not willing to deal with the system, they also have a free enterprise, a market-based system. And they will give you the money they would have given you to pay for the government services, and then you take the rest of it, you have to pay it out of your pocket. You see, so it has that socialized and it has that competitive. So it's got the best of both, in my humble opinion, but nobody will ever do what the French do.
So it's kind of like you pay and they will reimburse you?
They'll reimburse you what they would have paid.
Okay, so some cities here have that. Like San Francisco has that.
They have a clinic?
If you live in San Francisco, you have like $8,000 a year to use on like allergy medicine, glasses, and stuff.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Okay, but if it's above and beyond that, you pay. Okay, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Okay, how are we doing for time? Not bad. Not so exciting, is this? This one, yeah. So let's discuss health insurance. How are we doing? Okay. Health insurance alleviates the financial burdens people suffer due to illness or injury. Part of your overall risk management plan to safeguard your family's economic security, because a week in a hospital can literally kill you financially. How much does it cost for a week in the hospital? $70,000, $80,000. Depends why you're in there, right? 47 million Americans should say had no insurance. This was before the Obamacare, Affordable Care Act. Now it's down to about 27 or so, 26 million. The number had been climbing. We changed it to had. As more and more smaller businesses, we can't afford it anymore. And if you go through the Covered California, they're going to ask you, does your business that you work at, does the employer offer health care? They're going to want to know. Because that was the model that we created after World War II. There was a movement after World War II to make it more like European, and it was shot down as communist, socialist, and it's so politically charged. The Affordable Care Act has reduced it to, it was supposed to go below 20 million, but it's down to like 26 million. So what are the types of coverage? The comprehensive major medical insurance that is available, it's often called the Cadillac, meaning it's the most luxurious. There are low deductibles, there are high deductibles, which we'll discuss later on. Somebody's going to try to sell you hospital indemnity. It pays the fixed amount. It's cheap, but it's not very useful. And then other people are going to try to sell you specifically in the benefit packages where you work. They will say, oh, you know, we're going to give you $10,000 or $25,000 of life insurance. In the meanwhile, would you like to take a look at some of these other dread disease insurance policies? Have you heard of Aflac? Aflac, they advertise. They love to sell these cancer policies. They're great, fabulous, if you get cancer. If you don't get cancer, hepatitis B or whatever, sorry, we're not going to pay you a dime. So you want something that's going to pay you no matter how you get sick because you don't care. Oh, by the way, the commissions are great. Remember, I'm an insurance agent. You sell one of these policies, it's about $100 a month, less than $100 a month. You immediately get $500 commission. Bingo. So you'd love to sell these things. Dental insurance is not included in the comprehensive major medical. That's separate. Vision is not included. I love our vision. Our dental policy is actually not bad here at Southwestern. Our vision policy costs about $250 a year, which is about how much it would cost to go to the ophthalmologist and get a pair of glasses. So, what good does it do? Every year. That's every year. And then long-term care insurance was virtually unknown 20, 25 years ago, but now growing faster. Why? Because they're targeting us, the baby boomers, who are looking at our parents, who are either dead or in the nursing home, eating away all their savings. So what should a good health insurance plan cover? About 80% of out-of-hospital expenses after the yearly deductible. You're gonna see that this is not true anymore. The stop loss. We'll take a look at the problems in just a moment. But it's actually more now. But they want to limit your out-of-pocket expenses, excluding the dental and all that stuff. There, as we said, the Affordable Care Act removed the typical $1 million restriction and the typical one-year pre-existing exclusion for health insurance. When Americans are asked if they like the provisions of the Affordable Care Act without mentioning Obamacare or without mentioning the name, they say yes. If you say Obamacare, oh, no, it's horrible. So let's take a look. We'll get the, would you, on the right-hand side, up twice.
Is it actually exactly the same thing?
What?
The
Affordable Care Act is also called Obamacare. That's the, they mean the same thing.
Exactly the same thing.
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. Yeah, I know. It's okay, so turn the page. Health and disability. No, this is home and ownership. Health and disability. I know. It's boring. What can I say? It's terrible. But it's there. You got to deal with it. But see, you're young, so you're going, I don't have to worry about it yet. Wait till you get older. I'll never forget. I was 50 years old. I'm a little bigger than 50. And my doctor said, you have to go get this test. I said, you sure? He says, yes. I didn't want it. I was like 2.5-3 hours in the outpatient care. They sent me the bill, which I didn't pay. But they sent me how much it cost? $4,000. $3,800 for 3 hours. As you get older. Okay. So, number one. Who will read number one? Let everybody jump at once. Oh, I'll read it. Ben Dare has a traditional health care policy that pays 90% of outpatient expenses, out of hospital expenses, after a $2,000 deductible, which you never see anymore. They're much higher. So, 80% $2,000 deductible. I'm sorry, did I say 90%? Let's see if you guys are watching. Okay, so how much did he run? How much did he have that year? $4,800. So $4,800 was his cost for that year. Now, what's the first thing he's got to do? He's got to pay the $2,000 deductible. So how much is what the industry calls covered costs? Covered costs are, tough question, folks, $2,800. Everybody say $2,800. Got your calculators? So now what's 90% of $2,800? $2,520? Is that right? That sounds about right. So how much is the insurance company going to pay? $2,520. How much does he have to pay? He has to pay $280, right, because $2,800 minus that is $280, but he also has to pay the $2,000, so his out-of-pocket expense is $2,280. See how that worked? It's straightforward once you do it a few times. How are we doing for time? Not that great. That's okay. Cool? Number two. Who will read number two? Don't everybody jump at once. Okay, I'll read it. So we had been there, now we had done that. Been there and done that. Okay. Yeah. He has a $5,000 deductible, which is more along the lines of what you see. In fact, you see even higher. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to go out there and get a few quotes. His stop loss provision is $7,500. Now, the stop loss provision says that's how much he will pay after he pays. It used to be that the deductible was included, but he will never pay more than $7,500. But he still has to pay the deductible. It used to be that deductible was included in the stop loss. Not anymore. They want you to pay the deductible and then the stop loss. So, this policy pays 80% of covered costs beyond the deductible. So he needs a serious operation. So $55,000. We try to make the numbers easy. So the serious operation is going to cost $55,000. How much does he have to pay before anything gets covered by the company? He has to pay the $5,000 deductible. So how much is covered? Yeah, but how much of the bill? You're going to do 80% of that. 50. These are tough questions, folks. I don't know if you can hit them. 50,000. Now we multiply that times 80%. So how much would the insurance company pay? 40,000. But that would mean he would have to pay an extra. How much? 10. What is his stop loss? $7,500? And I go, going like this? Go like this. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, just go like this.
Okay, wait. After you got the $40,000, why are you subtracting it again?
Well, I'm saying, look, the insurance company is going to pay this much. The bill, he paid $5,000. This is how much is covered, $50,000. The insurance company will pay 80% of the covered costs. So that's $40,000. But that means you still got $10,000 to pay.
Oh, so it's not pay your deductible and you're done?
Pay your deductible and now you got to pay 10% or 20% of everything.
Okay, I've been living such a fat lie. Yeah.
Look up your policy.
Right.
So now they would ask him to pay $10,000, but he has a stop loss provision. So he only has to pay the $7,500. So the insurance company will pay the $40,000 here, plus they would pay anything above the stop loss, which is $2,500. So they're going to pay these two amounts. He's going to have to pay the $5,000 plus the $7,500 stop loss. Wow. Yeah. Wow. And you look at many of these Obamacare, Romney Care, Affordable Care Act, they have very high deductibles.
Wait, so he's paying $5,000
and $5,000. You have to pay the deductible first. Now, before the operation, he might have had other health care costs, and he might have eaten up much of the $5,000 before that. But let's just say this is the only thing that happened every year, this year. That's the only thing that happened. He has to pay $5,000. $50,000 is covered. They pay 80%, so they're going to pay $40,000. But that leaves him with an extra $10,000 to pay, and he has a deductible, yeah, I'm saying, has a stop loss of
$7,500.
He pays the $5,000 deductible plus the $7,500. $12,500. And after that, yeah, if he has $1,000,000, they pay the rest.
No matter what so let's say if it goes to $100,000, no matter what, you take the stop loss and the deductible.
Yeah. Because if it weren't for the stop loss, yeah, you could just get wiped. People do get wiped out. You know, one of the biggest reasons people go in bankruptcy is because of medical bills. Okay, and now, we're not there. We're not the disability income. Let's keep going. All right, group plans, comprise close to 90%. That's the accident of history that Dr. Markowitz talks about. If you lose your health care because you lost your job, there's a portability, but it costs a lot more. Individual, these are going to be typically more expensive, but that's what the health care exchanges were for. That's what Obamacare, Romneycare, coveredcalifornia.gov, the idea was to get young people into the mix, and that would lower the overall cost. We'll see if it works. And then managed care. Anybody have an HMO, Health Mismanagement Organization, or a PPO? Anybody have Kaiser? Yeah, what do you think of Kaiser? We have Sharp. It turned out actually pretty good. You get your troll, your gatekeeper. You have to go to your doctor first, and then they say, okay, you can go to the gynecologist. Okay, you can go to the dermatologist. You can go to the heart cardiologist. And then PPOs are the same idea, but they give you more latitude. They cost more. But HMOs, you know, that's Kaiser. They're not the only ones out there. But the idea was to keep you in the network, and then they negotiate better prices inside the network. If you can't find a health care provider in the network, they will then, they'll send you to the specialist and they'll have to pay for it. Now, I call it catastrophic, and that's what a lot of these Obamacare, Romneycare, Affordable Care Acts really are. They're comprehensive major medical plans, the old Cadillac. It will pay for everything, but we won't. You've got to pay out of pocket for the deductible, and then if you go over the deductible, then there's a stop loss. You're protected against large losses, but I don't know about you, but $12,500, I don't know how many people can deal with that kind of loss. They're also cool. They're very eligible for these health savings accounts that we'll discuss. We don't discuss too much in here when we get to investments. But these are very cool. Not to be confused with flexible spending accounts, which are through your employer. But you get to contribute pre-tax money to your health savings account, and then you can use it to pay for health care costs. So these things used to be cool, but they're not anymore because they're so damn expensive. But this is what they'll throw at you when you do your, you're going to look them up, look up some. Do you have one, Tara? Do you have a health care through covered California, one of the Obamacare ones? You were saying you have to rethink your deductible.
No, I have a PPO, actually.
Oh, PPO. Okay. That's more expensive than HMO. All right. Have you heard of MIB? Men in Black? No, it's the Medical Information Bureau. And you know what? People in the insurance, in the medical industry, don't believe this thing. I had a doctor who didn't believe it existed. I said, do you have a computer connected to the internet in your office? He goes, yeah. I said, look it up, MIB.com. Remember the credit bureaus, the LexisNexis? This organization does the same thing except with your health information. They want to know everything about your health. And the life insurance companies, and the health insurance, but life insurance companies, they love these places. They want to know if you have HIV or hepatitis B. They want to know. So you can get, again, a free report, just like the credit reports, just like the Clue reports, every year at MIB.com. So check it out. If there's anything on there that's wrong, like they say you have HIV or hepatitis B, you want it. No, that's not me. So check them out. Now, government. Do you trust the government? No, you don't trust the government. See, in a democracy, this is very funny. People don't like it when you say that. But you know, in a democracy, the government is just a reflection of the people. What do you mean? You look at the Congress, you're looking at us? Yes. Look at the Congress, looking at us. Oh, it's not a pretty sight. But hey, what are you going to do? Those Democrats, those Republicans. Okay, so Medicare, the one we were talking about for us old folks, I'm not there yet. Is for older and some disabled people. And it's worked actually fairly well. The problem is it's going broke. It's not because the system is mismanaged. It's because we're getting older. The population as a whole is getting older and older. And we spend tons of money just keeping people alive an extra 4 months. So how are we going to deal with that? I don't know. You have to deal with it. I'm giving up. If you're indigent, you can qualify for Medi-Cal. The rest of the world calls it Medicaid. In California, we call it Medi-Cal. Isn't that cool? But you have to basically lower your assets below $2,000. And if you have a house, you got to sell it. Now, if you're married, the spouse gets to stay in the house until you either pass away or they pass away. But if you're single, you got to sell the house. You got to lower it down to where you're basically worth nothing. So that was healthcare. Wasn't that exciting? Wasn't that going to make you feel good? Okay, I'm going to make you feel worse now, because disability income insurance is even harder to get. If you can get it, it's expensive and it doesn't cover very much. How's that for a deal? But sounds like a test question. Disability income insurance protects your most valuable asset, your ability to earn income. It is, we're not done yet, relax, it's a 5-minute rule. Okay. One of the most neglected forms of insurance. Sound like a test question? What's one of the most neglected forms of insurance? Disability. Why? Because it's expensive, you can't find it, and even if you do get it, it doesn't cover much. So people just go, this sucks, why would I bother? Aim for a benefit that when added to your other income will equal about 60 to 70% of your take-home pay. You won't find anything more than that. You may, no, will only pay if you cannot work at any job. It used to be some people worked at this very expensive job and they were getting paid really, really well and they couldn't do it anymore and they said, okay, I can't do that job anymore, you have to pay me. So, you know, you got to go into your job, get another job. It doesn't matter if you get paid less. The typical period now is 2 to 5 years and there's a waiting period. Remember the deductible? The waiting period is the deductible. You have to wait 90 days or 180 days before the disability income insurance will kick in. So that's the waiting period. So let's do number three real fast. Let's do number three. I'll read it. Can you help her? Is take-home pay of $1,200. Give me a couple more minutes. Then you can leave. Her disability income insurance replaces 60% of her take-home pay, but she has to wait 30 days, 1 month, they should do it by weeks, 4 weeks. If she's disabled for 4 months, which is 17 weeks, you would think it's 16. No, there's an extra week every 3 months or so. So she's disabled for 4 months. They call that 17 weeks. What will the insurance company pay over the 4 month, 17-week period? So first of all, what's the waiting period? What's the disability? They don't call it the disability. Yeah, so first of all, are they going to pay for the first 4 weeks? No, so you have to subtract the 4 weeks, so they'll only pay for 13 weeks. Right? What's the take-home pay? Times 60% times 13 weeks, 0.6, not 0.06. So what will they pay her? $9,360. That seems a little high. I don't think so. Try it again.
Did it backwards?
Try 1,200 times 0.6 times 13.
Yeah.
Is that it? 9,000? 300? Okay. That's how much we'll pay her. Okay, so last slide. Where do you get it? Some employers have it. We had it. We have it again, but it's not very good. We had a very good one many years ago. It's gone. Individual, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Check out Mutual of Omaha, see if you can find it. They won't give it to you. They'll tell you we have it, but they want you to sign up first. They want you to give them their information, so don't worry about it. Social Insecurity and Workman's Compensation. Forget it, Social Security, Workman's Comp. So what's the bottom line on health insurance? Yeah, don't get sick, right. All right, now, last Tuesday, you don't want to miss Tuesday, because we're going to scorch the life insurance industry, and you're going to learn something that could save you tens of thousands of dollars over your working career. Because life insurance is very important if you have kids. If you don't have kids, it's very important not to have it. And we'll discuss that on Tuesday. So study over the weekend. Turn in your assignments, even if they're late. Be awesome. And keep your back to the wall.